A lot of times we realize that fences around graveyards and carpet color and wall color and constitutions and bylaws, are those things important? To some degree, yes, but they don't amount to a hill of beans in light of the kingdom. What matters are those places that are underserved.
You're listening to the AMS Excellence Podcast. This podcast is dedicated to the discussion of strategic best practices related to associational missions. Here's your host, Rick Curtis.
Good morning, team. Welcome back to the podcast. Hey, today's guest is Travis Kearns. Travis is the Associational Mission Strategist for Three Rivers Baptist Association in Taylor, South Carolina, and we're talking about associational missions partnerships. Travis, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Travis, you just made it into a special category all your own. You see, I've never, ever interviewed an associational mission strategist with less than a year on the field. Maybe it's because me and you are friends from before and all that, but I'm showing a little bit of favoritism here today.
Yeah, there's some subjectivity.
Yeah, well, okay. So yeah, you heard it, everybody. Just discard whatever he says that doesn't make sense to you, which will probably be about the whole thing.
And that's because it'll be all from you, Rick.
All right, let's get it. Hey, before we get to the questions, Travis, in all seriousness, talk to us about your family and your ministry history. What's brought you to this point of being an AMS in South Carolina?
Yeah, so I'm married to Stacy. We've been married, June will make 23 years. We have a son, Jeremiah, who will be 17 in about a month, who starts at one of our South Carolina Baptist universities in August. So we're excited about that. I've been in ministry a little bit everywhere. So we've done ministry where I grew up here in South Carolina. But we left here about 20 years ago for me to do a master's and PhD at Southern Seminary. Then I taught there for almost 10 years on faculty full time. We moved to Salt Lake City and served as the Send City Missionary for Salt Lake for 6 years. And being able to serve in the West, especially on that team with you, Rick, was incredible. We moved to Fort Worth, Texas, where I served on faculty at Southwestern for 2.5 years, and then came back here about 3 months ago in January of 22 to serve as the associational mission strategist in the association that encompasses my hometown. We're the northern part of the county here. We've got about 90 churches and representing about 40,000 people. And what brought us back here is not only the calling of God, obviously, but a sense of duty to this place because of all they've done for me as I was growing up here, but also a sense of loving, being able to love on and be around pastors and missionaries on a day in, day out basis. For me, there's just nothing better. If I can't be a pastor, I want to be as close to pastors as I can be, and being in an association is as close as I can be. So we absolutely love it. As most of the guys who are listening know, it's a long job every day, but it's about as enjoyable a thing as I've ever done.
Yeah, wonderful. That's awesome. Well, the reason I wanted to call you on the podcast today is because I got to observe you for all those years as our Send City missionary in Salt Lake City, and I know your zeal and your passion for partnerships. And so you did such a good job there. I watched as you took this position at Taylor's, and I'm just seeing you make the connections, bringing that same zeal for partnerships into the association. And what you're already doing partnership-wise in your association is inspirational. So yes, you have less than a year on the field, but man, you are doing this right, and I had to have you on to talk about it. So you ready for some questions?
Yep, hit me.
All right, question number one, why are mission partnerships important for associations? How's that?
Yeah, I think for the same reason that they're important in churches. You know, when I pastored, when I was an associate pastor, and when I planted a church in Salt Lake, the thing that we found is if people don't have anything to focus on externally, they'll focus on the church internally and always find things to fight about, to complain about, on and on. But if we focus externally on these partnerships with places that are underserved or even unserved, if you look around the world, or in places in our own nation, then people in those churches have so much going on that they realize, hey, the things inside that we complain about are petty. Most times they don't make any difference whatsoever in light of the kingdom. And we really need to focus on those places that need additional help in evangelism and discipleship. So I think the same thing holds true for associations, generally speaking. If we're always focused internally on what's happening just in our churches, in the association, which is something that needs to be discussed, but not discussed all the time, because a lot of times we realize that fences around graveyards and carpet color and wall color and constitutions and bylaws, are those things important? To some degree, yes, but they don't amount to a hill of beans in light of the kingdom. What matters are those places that are underserved. So I think that's what those mission partnerships can do for associations, you know, and associations don't have mission partnerships as a as an entity because the association is just the churches. So it's an attempt, I believe, by the AMS or the DOM or the executive director, whatever the associational strategist title is for the particular association. I think it's our role to make sure that our churches have something to look at externally, to focus on externally. And it can really help not only drive those churches to do things outside their walls, but it'll help them realize, hey, if we can do it in Salt Lake City, but we're from Greenville, South Carolina, that means we can also do it in Greenville, or we can do it in Atlanta or wherever else it may be. So when they go to another place and they can engage in evangelism and discipleship opportunities there, they realize, hey, if I can do it there, I can do it here.
Well, yeah.
And it gets them more involved in their own area.
I think you'll agree with me. I mean, you know, even from your past ministry experience, as do I, when you send your people out on mission, they come back as one of the most valuable on-fire servants in your local context and in your local church. It really inspires them to serve locally when they have an opportunity to serve externally, if you will.
Right.
I love
that.
We
found, and I know this is true for a lot of the partners that NAM sees across the spectrum in North America. We found in Salt Lake, and I found here, that when churches partner with other places around North America and around the world, their missions giving goes out, but their internal giving goes up.
Yep.
Their internal volunteer numbers go up because people get excited for two things. And it's the two things that Jesus stresses in the Great Commission, evangelism and discipleship. When they can do that and have something to look forward to, they get excited, they start giving, they start getting involved, and they're on fire.
You know, this is just one of those areas where an AMS can leverage something that's very kingdom focused and leverage it for relevancy and buy-in into the association. Not that that's the reason we're doing it. We're doing it for the kingdom, but to create that culture in the association of equipping and encouraging and empowering your pastors to connect externally on mission, whether it be national or international, that's going to drive the health of his church up, which in turn drives their connection to the association at a whole nother level. And if you can, and if the associational mission strategist can be or make that a priority in the association, driving that at a constant level, that's honoring the kingdom, but it's reciprocal. It comes right back into that relevancy argument for the association. So I love that. So, hey, let me ask you this then. Opportunities are abundant. We know that. They're everywhere. You can call NAM and you get 100 cities or 100 towns that you could partner with that need partnership right now. But in your process, how do you choose where to partner?
Yeah, what we did, we have a specific leadership structure here. So I discussed with our leadership team various partnership opportunities around North America and around the world. And what I did before that, though, first started by praying through places. But then I just surveyed our pastors and asked them, hey, are you guys partnered anywhere in North America? Are you partnered anywhere around the world? Let me know where that is. And then I started looking at the places where more than one church was partnered. Because with an association of any size, we're at about 90 churches. So, you know, you could have a partnership in 90 different places. Or if they do one in North America, one around the world, you could have almost 200 places they're partnered with. Mm. Obviously, the association can't stress 200 different places. But if I've got places where more than one church is partnered and it's the same city or same area, or places where I, as the AMS, have very deep-rooted, solid connections, then that's where we chose to partner. So we chose to partner in places, one, where more than one of our churches was already partnered, or two, where more than one is partnered, and I already had deep, strong connections, so I know and trust the people in those areas.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. So what does that look like? Go ahead.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, well, that's what it looks like. What we did is we chose one city in each of NAM's five regions and then two places internationally. So we have a Northeastern partnership, a Southern partnership, Midwestern, Western, and Canadian partnership. Then we have two places internationally, both in Africa, that we're going to partner with because, as I said, either we've got churches that are partnered deeply in those places or I've got connections there.
Okay, so I was going to ask, how do you partner in terms of like, what is the mechanism by which that partnership flows or rides? Is it financial? Is it sending of people? Is it both?
Yeah, what we do, you know, I'm a firm believer that, and I don't think anybody would disagree with this, the word association is not found anywhere in the New Testament. But the word church is found everywhere. God's plan is to work through the local church. That's his plan for the world. His plan is not to work through the association, but to work through the church. So I think my role, I would argue from a New Testament perspective, is to empower our local churches to do as much as they possibly can to partner in those areas. So what we do, just as an example, financially, because we're blessed financially, is help pastors go on vision tours. If I have a pastor who's never been on a mission trip, then we want to pay for him to go on a trip somewhere in one of those five places or somewhere around the world in one of our two places internationally. You know, we want to get them to the area, hopefully get them to stay with somebody there. Our association doesn't partner with local churches specifically. I want our churches to partner with local churches.
Got it.
So what we're doing is partnering with other associations and saying, or state conventions, if there's, you know, not an association in a particular state, because one of our places doesn't have an association, it's just the whole state convention. So what we're doing is partnering with those other similar organizations on the same kind of playing field and saying to them, hey, if you've got churches that need help or church plants that need help, let us know, and we'll connect our local churches and our church plants with your local churches and church plants and let them take the partnership from there. We just want to be a connection point because, again, God's plan is not to work from association to church. It's to work from church to church. You know, I want to empower those local church pastors and staff members and lay people to do everything they can to see God's kingdom come and move forward.
Yeah, that's incredible. And Travis, what I hear you saying, this is an aside, and I'll get back to our narrative here in a minute, but what I think you've just hit on is very important because I've said often that there's several different ideas of what an association is out there. And what I have found across the board, and even from my near decade as an associational mission strategist myself, DOM in the day, is that the more that the association looks like an entity as opposed to just an association of churches, right? So there's this spectrum. It's an association in kind of a pure form is just the churches. It's the churches, and then the director of missions works to facilitate and empower that and whatever. And then along their journey, especially for a lot of our older associations, they become more and more of an agency, an entity. They got the building, they got the this, they got the that. And there's nothing wrong with those things, but it's the philosophy behind them. It seems like as they grow on that spectrum, as they move towards that entity, they take on things that are more and more in competition with the church. And right. As they do that, they become less and less relevant to the church. It's a significant thing to grasp as a new AMS. And I know you fully get it because here's what you're saying. You're working through the church and partnering with the church and empowering them in that journey. And you're looking at it from the true sense of what an association is. I talk to AMSs all the time that are really battling for relevance. And if I really drill down, a lot of times it's because they're in competition with their member churches, because they're doing right. Some of the same things that their churches do. And I heard you articulate very clearly, we do not partner with these churches. We encourage, empower the local church to work in that arena. And I love that. I think you're a step ahead of a lot of guys just in that core philosophy. So enough of the aside, let's get back to my questions. How do you get associational churches involved? How do you set the vision for that? How do you promote it? How do you draw them into this vision for reaching the other areas as well as the world?
Right. So I make it a point every month to text and call every pastor in the association. So I talk or text with them at least twice a month. Some I'll talk to every week or every other day just because they call me a good bit or I call them a good bit because we're closer. But every time I talk to them and ask them how I can pray for them, I always make sure and say, hey, you know, don't forget, if your church is looking for a place to partner, we've got five areas. I do weekly video updates for all of our pastors. And every single week they hear me say, you know, I'm not here to be served. I'm here to serve you guys. One of the ways we serve is to always offer places for mission partnerships. Anytime I go preach at one of our churches, which right now, since I'm new, is every Sunday,
yeah,
I always take 5-mile radius demographic studies and talk to them about what's going on in their area, but then say, hey, look, there are these seven places where we're partnered around the world that are 1/100th of, you know, a Christian population of what you have here. And our association, even though we're in the buckle of the Bible Belt, we're only 22 or 23% Christian. So it's still fairly low comparatively, but you look at a place like Salt Lake City, which is our Western partnership, where it's less than 2% Christian. So that's a significantly smaller number. So it's just always reminding them, hey, we are blessed to be where we are Christian-wise, church-wise. You know, we have more Baptists than people and more churches than gas stations, it seems like, in South Carolina. But there are places that are nowhere near as blessed as we are. Let's go out and see the kingdom move forward, not only here, but in those places as well. So it's just always talking about it.
I love that. Guys, the top of the mind approach always works. What you're passionate about and what you keep in front of your men will drive excitement and activity in that arena.
Right.
So, hey, I first thought about this question in terms of our smaller churches and how to get smaller churches involved. But I want to talk to the guys that are listening right now, because you mentioned earlier your association's been financially blessed and how you pay for a pastor to go on a vision tour or whatever. Before we get to the what about smaller churches, how can they be involved kind of idea, let's talk about smaller associations. Maybe they don't have resources. What ideas do you have? What thoughts do you have for the guy who isn't financially blessed? He loves his men. He loves his pastors. He loves the idea of getting missional. How can he do that with a much smaller budget?
Yeah, so that's something that we've actually talked about just in the 3 months I've been here. We have an association very close to us. It's less than half our size. Their budget is very, very small. And so we reached out to them and just said, hey, if we can help your guys do something, please let us know. I'm not trying in any way, shape, or form to recruit your churches to join our association. We're in the kingdom together. And if we can help you, if you want to join in any of our pastor meetings or take place in any of our training or conferences that we do, or if we can help scholarship you to go on a mission trip, we want to do that. So that's something, that's one way to do it. If you're a smaller association and you have a bigger one close, call the AMS and ask him. I have no problem whatsoever helping a church outside of our association do something if theirs can't help, because it's a kingdom-minded thing.
That's great.
The other thing I would say is contact your state convention. Now, some states can't do this just because they're so they're smaller and their budgets are smaller, but our state convention here in South Carolina, we're blessed to have plenty of funds to help pastors go on mission trips, especially if it's a first-time trip. So our state convention actually budgets money specifically for grants for pastors to go on mission trips and to go on vision tours. In fact, we've got one going in about 4 weeks to Salt Lake City that our association and the state are partnering together to send guys.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think contact other associations, contact your state convention and see if they can help.
You know, I like that too, because the idea here and something we try to drive on the podcast is the brotherhood and partnership of our entities together. And so I think relevance builds for the associational mission strategist that can show himself to his pastors as a good partner with his state convention and with NAM and with the other entities. It drives a feeling of family and camaraderie that being isolated does not. So I love that answer.
Right.
Okay. Hey, so we started to talk about the smaller churches. How can your smaller churches that have zero, they're just trying to hold it together, man. They're just trying to keep pay the light bill. How can they be involved?
Yeah. You know, we have about 15% of our churches, maybe 20% are in that category. They're just hoping to be able to pay the power bill, pay the preacher a couple hundred bucks a week, that kind of thing. What I encourage them is contact your association. See if the association can help do something. We've got, in our association, we have a mega metro. We have a good number of large churches and a good size number of medium churches that all have very healthy budgets. And I tell our mega metro church says all the time, if you've got somebody who wants to go on a mission trip, they want to join us, call us and tell us and we'll scholarship them to go. And the mega metro will pay for it. I have other churches that are financially blessed that have called me as the AMS and said, if you have a church or a pastor who wants to go on a mission trip and they can't afford it because they're small, call us and we'll pay for it. And we'll do it anonymously, or we'll do it and we'll tell them who it is, just however it needs to go, we'll pay for it. So the other thing that I do for our smaller churches is I call those pastors and say, hey, if you want to go on a mission trip, you let me know where you want to go and I'll connect you to one of our larger churches that's going and you join them and go with them. You may not have enough people to be able to take 8 or 10 on a mission trip anywhere in North America or around the world, but you or one of your people could go with one of our larger churches, join another team. And not only does that help the smaller church get oriented towards missions, but it also helps draw the churches in the association closer together. So that's what I tell them. Call us. We've got resources. We've got help not only from larger churches, but from, you know, the mega metro church we have down through medium-sized churches that just want to help. I don't know of any pastor worth his weight in salt who, if a smaller church pastor called him and said, could you help us in missions, that other pastor at a larger church would say no.
Yeah.
I just can't see that happening. And if somebody tells me it's happening, I wouldn't believe it.
I just
can't see a pastor telling another pastor asking for help. I can't hear him saying no.
Seriously, thanks for that. And you know what? Before I hit record on the podcast, you and I were sharing, just catching up from old times and all that kind of stuff. And we had a couple conversations before we started the podcast. But one of those was how the saints are ready to give. And I would even put the caveat before you ask your association, local pastor, or a larger church across the way, ask your people. Because I've just seen this in my time as an AMS. I know that there are people, even in the dying churches that have low budgets, people are funny and they're fickle. They'll withhold their money because they'll give to keep the lights on, but they'll withhold generosity because they see their church as small or dying or whatever. But given a need or an ask, they'll come to the table. And so I would encourage AMS I would encourage your pastor to make an appeal with vision first and let your people come to the table on that. And then hit all these other resources, because sometimes God's people, and right or wrong, I'm not going to get into that argument, but sometimes God's people just need to be inspired to give to something amazing, something bigger than themselves.
I would only add to that and just say something we used to tell our missionaries in Salt Lake all the time. I know other NAM City missionaries did the same thing. And that is, if you're going to ask for help with financing something, ask for help with something specific.
Yep.
Don't make it generic, and have a small ask, a medium ask, and a big ask.
Yep.
So I told our planters all the time in Salt Lake, I told my students at Southern and at Southwestern, if they were going to plant, have a $5 ask, a $500 ask, and a $5,000 ask.
Yeah, amen.
And make it very specific. Don't say, I need $5 for evangelism. Say, I need $5 to buy a Bible to give it to somebody who doesn't have one.
Yeah.
Because if I'm a donor, I'm very happy to give you $5 for somebody who doesn't have a Bible. I'm not quite as happy to give you $5 just for generic evangelism, because I don't know what that means.
Yep, exactly right. And be a storyteller. That's what I tell guys all the time, that people give the stories to narratives that evoke the emotions. And so, all good advice. Hey, quick question. First of all, give us a list of where you're engaging, if you don't mind. And then if somebody wanted to unpack with you, or maybe partner with you, or just wants to reach out and bounce some things off of you, would you provide contact information for yourself on the phone?
Sure. Yeah. So we'll just get on the list here. So the first one, I just actually announced this to the association as a whole on Monday, our places of partnership. So I'll start from the northern side and go down. So in Canada, we're partnering in Montreal. Our northeastern partnership is going to be Vermont. One of our churches is functioning as the lead partner for Vermont. So we're going to go there. Our southern partnership is Gastonia, North Carolina. That actually came about because the AMS there called me here. And as we started talking, we realized that, hey, we could help each other. And it's only about 90 minutes up the road from us. So our Midwestern partnership is going to be in Cincinnati. The reason for that is twofold. One, I've got deep connections there through the city missionary there. And two, that's an easy drive for us from where we are. We can drive up there in about 6.5 hours.
That's
so it's basically a day up. We can work there 3 or 4 days and have a day drive back. It does not have to be on a plane. Gastonia, we can go in a day and come back same day. For Cincinnati, it's up one day, work for a few days, back another day. Vermont's a plane flight. Our Western partnership is Salt Lake City, because I was the city missionary there. So we're partnering with not only the Salt Lake Baptist Association, but the Golden Spike Association, which is north of Salt Lake, and the East Idaho Association. So that entire corridor that covers probably 500 or 600 miles. In our two international partnerships, again, because of connections I have, one is Sub-Saharan Africa and the other is Madagascar.
That's amazing.
So those are obviously long-term flights, but the new IMB leader for Sub-Saharan Africa was one of my doctoral students at Southwestern, so great connection there. And then there's a brother in southern Madagascar in Fort Dauphine who's starting a seminary there, who was also one of my PhD students at Southwestern. So those are our seven areas of emphasis for partnerships.
That's crazy, Travis. I know we probably have listeners that are listening right now going, what? How on earth can you pull all that off? So let me encourage that individual that's listening. start with one. Start with the one that you can drive to, like Travis said, and begin to build an energy toward engagement. And I think one will lead to two, will lead to three. But listen, if the Lord uses you powerfully in one, what a great way to bring unity and excitement to the local association.
Yeah. And what we've done is I've asked at least for one local church in the association to be the lead partner for each of those seven areas. And so far, I've gotten at least one. I've got two for some areas, three for some. I've only got one that I don't have a lead partner for. But I mean, the churches are excited. They're ready to go. And those lead partners, if you go and ask the pastor, hey, where should I go on mission? They're just pitching their city left and right, which is exactly what I love hearing them do.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, so your contact information?
Yeah, contact. Yeah, you can go to our website and get it. It's 3RiversBA, like BaptistAssociation.org, or my email address is Travis@3RiversBA.org.
Great.
And hey, I would love to talk to any AMS about it.
Wonderful. Thank you, Travis. Hey, listen, I always ask a final question on the podcast, so I'll hit you with it right now. What are you reading and why?
Yeah, so I'm reading a brand new book by a man named Joe Kreider. Joe is the dean of the School of Church Music and Worship at Southwestern Seminary in Fort Worth, and his new book is called Scripture Guided Worship. I know, especially in a lot of places in the U.S., music style in churches can be a significant point of debate and often a significant point of consternation for pastors and for music pastors that are just trying to deal with this and deal with various styles and things like that. And what Dr. Kreider discusses in his book is this: if this is the basics, if we think that we can unify God's people around music, then we've lost our minds. So what he argues is that we need to unify God's people around scripture and around music that resonates with scripture, not musical styles, but specific words that are either directly from scripture or derivative of specific scriptural passages. And it's a, again, brand new book. It's about 200 pages or so on this. And that's something that I'm passionate about, is seeing God's people unified around the text of scripture and not around anything else. Because once you're unify around that, then everything else will fall into place.
Amen.
So, and again, this is just one of those big areas of debate and causes trouble in a lot of churches.
Yeah, that's right. All right, guys. Well, special guest today, Travis Kearns, the Associational Mission Strategist at Three Rivers Baptist Association in Taylors, South Carolina. Travis, thanks again, my friend, for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Rick.
All right, God bless.
You have been listening to the AMS Excellence Podcast. For more information or to contact the North American Mission Board's Associational Relations Team, send an email to associations@namb.net.